大家好，这里是北京外语广播正在播出的大学生英语在线 Question of the Day， 我是 Larry， 欢迎大家加入我们的 QQ 群90127292，下载更多的英语学习资料。那今天呢，又到了周末了，每到周末我们都会来聊一聊 TED TED Talk， 希望对大家的雅思和托福学习有所帮助和启发。我们请来的嘉宾老师是壮壮老师，老师好。
各位好，那我们今天呢给大家选的 TED Talk 呢是关于一个新的概念，叫做 Slow TV。You have heard about slow food. Now here is slow TV. In this very funny talk, Norwegian television producer Thomas Hallam shares how he and his team began to broadcast long and boring events, often live, and found a rapt audience.Shows include a 7-hour train journey, an 18-hour fishing expedition, and a 5.5-day ferry voyage along the coast of Norway. The results are both beautiful and fascinating, really. 好，那么我们给大家讲的是这个题目很有意思， The world's most boring television and why it's hilariously addictive. 就这个电视节目呢，特别枯燥。而且还长啊，用一句俗话讲，就是老太太裹脚布又臭又长，是吧？那它这么长，可是呢，大家还都特爱看。
Why it's so hilariously addictive？
对，而且是很让人发笑的，让人捧腹的，又让人上瘾的这么一个节目。哎，我一看这个题目，立刻就把我的胃口吊了起来。
到底什么样的节目呢？是。
紧接着我又看了一下这个演讲者，他是何许人也？这个演讲者 Thomas Hallam is an award-winning television producer who works at NRK, which is a TV station in Norway. 啊，他还是一个 slow television advocate, 坚决拥趸慢电视节目的这么一个电视制片人。好，然后呢，他说呢，他这个整个的讲话过程中呢，会给大家演示一个，当然不会实际7个小时这么长的节目都演示了，是吧？总共这个讲座也就18分钟出头。他会讲呢一个长达7个小时的铁路火车的这么一段旅程，这是他拍的，而且是实况转播，然后大量的观众对之趋之若鹜。还有一个是长达18个小时的这个钓鱼探险的这么一次活动。再来就是5天半的啊，在挪威的以海岸线上面的一个航行的计时。好，然后他说这个结果啊，这几个节目的结果呢都是 both beautiful and fascinating 啊，非常的美好，引人入胜。那我就想了哈，这个电视我可在电视机前坐起5个半天啊，不是，是5天半，这么长时间我可没这个做工啊，我顶多也就是看个10分钟左右差不多了啊，一插播广告赶紧又干别的去。你看新闻，像 Larry 你之前提到的，每天看每天看，但是你每次看多长时间呢？也就
最多不超过1个小时。
哎，所以他这个他说这个现在这个观众哈，对这么冗长的电视节目居然这么着迷，简直是令人难以想象。
到底是怎么样的一个片子呢？
我也很好奇。可是呢，这又让我想起来以前讲过一个实况转播，是考古发掘曹操的墓。
哦，
那个也是时间特别长。
为什么你知道吗？因为一个长的片子要让大家能够有悬念。
对，
一直有一个悬念，
他就会看，
就会看。如果你都告诉大家是怎么样，然后一个流程就是像流水账一样一样一样说的话，那就没有意思。
对，当时那个报道就说，你看现在我们出土了一块玉，那么这块玉呢到底是曹操干什么用的呢？它是个辟邪的东西呢，还是说它的官服上的一个装饰呢？是吧？它总有悬念。
对，
这其实也是一个说话的技巧。做电视节目写作都是有这个技巧的。
没错，不管是写作啊，你说一个故事，还是你将来从事电视行业哈，悬念的设置都是非常重要的。
关键是这个节目完了的时候，这个悬念它还得有个结局。它要是没结局了，群众就郁闷了。
不，他们会看下期。
哦，是这么回事儿，是吧？好吧，那我们来听一下此人的演讲。
Thank you. I've only got 18 minutes to explain something that lasts for hours and days, so I better get started. Let's start with a clip from Al Jazeera's listening post.
Norway is a country that gets relatively little media coverage. Even the elections this past week passed without much drama. And that's the Norwegian media in a nutshell. Not much drama. A few years back, Norway's public TV channel, NRK, decided to broadcast live coverage of a 7-hour train ride. 7 hours of simple footage. A train rolling down the tracks. Norwegians, more than a million of them, according to the ratings, loved it. A new kind of reality TV show was born, and it goes against all the rules of TV engagement. There is no storyline, no script, no drama, no climax, and it's called slow TV. For the past 2 months, Norwegians have been watching a cruise ship's journey up the coast, and there's a lot of fog on that coast. Executives at Norway's National Broadcasting Service are now considering broadcasting a night of knitting nationwide. On the surface, it sounds boring, because it is. But something about this TV experiment has gripped Norwegians. So we sent the listening post's Marcela Pizarro to Oslo to find out what it is. But first, a warning. Viewers may find some of the images in the following report disappointing.
And then follows an 8-minute story on Al Jazeera about some strange TV programs in Little Norway. Al Jazeera, CNN, how did we get there? We have to go back to 2009, where one of my colleagues got a great idea. Where do you get the ideas? In the lunchroom. So he said, why don't we make a radio program marking the day of the German invasion of Norway in 1940? We tell the story at the exact time during the night. Wow, brilliant idea, except this was just a couple of weeks before the invasion day. So we sat in our lunchroom and discussed, what other stories can you tell as they evolve? What other things takes real long time? So one of us come up with the train. The Bergen Railway had its 100 years anniversary that year. Goes from Western Norway to Eastern Norway. And it used exactly the same time as it did 40 years ago. Over 7 hours. So we called our commissioning editors in Oslo and we said, we want to make a documentary about the Bergen Railway and we want to make it in full length. And the answer was, yes, but how long will the program be? Oh, we said full length. Yes, but we mean the program, and back and forth. Luckily for us, they met us with a laughter, a very, very good laughter. So one bright day in September, we started a program that we thought should be 7 hours and 4 minutes. Actually, it turned out to be 7 hours and 40 minutes during a signal failure at the last station. We had four cameras. Three of them pointing out to the beautiful nature, some talking to the guests, some information.
We will arrive at Haugastøl station.
And that's about it. But of course, also the 160 tunnels gave us the opportunity to some archives.
Also en liten flirt, mens maten fordøyes. Den siste utforkjøringen før vi når målet. Bjørnfjell station passeres. Og så en ny tunnel.
And now we thought, yes, we have a brilliant program. It will fit for the 2000 train spotters in Norway. Brought on air in November 2009, but no, this is far more attractive. This is the 5 biggest TV channel in Norway on a normal Friday. And if you look at NRK2 over here, look what happened when they put on the Bergen Railway show. 1.2 million Norwegians watched part of this program. And another funny thing, when the host on our main channel, after the Havre got news for you, she said, and on our second channel, the train has now nearly reached Nierdal station. Thousands of people just jumped on the train on our second channel like this. This was also a huge success in terms of social media. It was so nice to see all the thousands of Facebook and Twitter users discussing the same view, talking to each other as they were on the same train together. And especially I like this one. It's a 76-year-old man. He's watched all the program, and at the end station, he rises up to pick his what he thinks is his luggage, and he hits his head hit with the curtain rod. And he realized he's in his own living room. So, that's strong and living TV. 436 minute by minute on a Friday night. And during that first night, the first Twitter message came, why be a chicken? Why stop at 8,000? Why stop at 436 when you can expand that to 8,040 minutes by minute and do the iconic journey in Norway, the coastal ship journey, Hurtigruten from Bergen to Kirkenes, almost 3,000 kilometers covering most of our coast, has a 120-year-old, very interesting history, and take literally part in life and death along the coast. So just a week after the Bergen Railway, we called the Hurtigruten Company and we started planning for our next show. We wanted to do something different. The Bergen Railway was a recorded program. So when we sat in our editing room, we watched this picture, it's all station. We saw this journalist, we had called him, we had spoken to him, and when we left the station, he took this picture of us, and he waved to the camera, and we thought, what if more people knew that we were on board that train? Would more people show up? How could it look like? So we decided our next project, it should be live. We wanted this picture of us on the fjord and on the screen at the same time. So, this is not the first time NRK have been on board a ship. This is back in 1964, when the technical managers had suits and ties, and NRK rolled all its equipment on board a ship, and 200 meters out of the shore, transmitting the signal back, and in the machine room they talk to the machine guy, and on the deck they have splendid entertainment. So, being on a ship is not the first time. But 5.5 days in a row, and live, we wanted some help, and we asked our viewers out there, what do you want to see? What do you want to see? What do you want us to film? How do you want this to look like? Do you want us to make a website? What do you want on it? And we got some answers from you out there, and it helped us a very lot to build the program. So, in June 2011, 23 of us went on board the Hurtigruten coastal ship, and we put off.
I carry that dream as a girl dreaming by a fjord so deep.
I have some really strong memories from that week, and it's all about people. This guy, for instance, he's head of research at the University in Tromsø. And I will show you a piece of cloth. This one. It's the other strong memory. It belongs to a guy called Eric Hansen. And it's people like those two who took a firm grip of our program. And together with thousands of others along the route, they made the program what it became. They made all the stories. This is Carl. He's in the 9th grade. It says, I will be a little late for school tomorrow. He was supposed to be on the school at 8 a.m. He came at 9 a.m. and he didn't get a note from his teacher because the teacher had watched the program. How did we do this? Yes, we took a conference room on board the Hurtigruten. We turned it into a complete TV control room. We made it all work, of course. And then we took along 11 cameras. This is one of them. This is my sketch from February. And when you give this sketch to professional people in Norwegian Broadcasting Company, NRK, you get some cool stuff back and with some very creative solutions.
Vi kjører det opp og ned.
Denne drillen Norges viktigste akkurat nå. Den styrer nemlig høyden på et avansert baukamera I NRKs live-produksjon. Og et av 11 kamera som skaper fantastiske bilder fra MS Nord-Norge.
Det åtte tauer som holder dette stabilt.
Jeg jobber jo bare med litt spesielle kameraløsninger og sånt, så det jo bare et verktøy du bruker nå I en annen sammenheng.
Another camera is this one. It's normally used for sport. It made it possible for us to take close-up picture of people 100 kilometers away, like this one. People called us and asked, how is this man doing? He's doing fine. Everything went well. We also could take pictures of people waving at us, people along the route, thousands of them, and they all had a phone in their hand. And when you take a picture of them and they get the message, now we are on TV, Dad, they start waving back. This was waving TV for 5.5 days, and people get so extremely happy when they can send a warm message to their loved ones. It was also a great success on social media. On the last day, we met Her Majesty, the Queen of Norway, and Twitter quite couldn't handle it. And we also, on the web, we streamed, during this week, we streamed more than 100 years of video to 148 nations. And the websites are still there, and they will be forever, actually, because Hurtigruten was selected to be part of the Norwegian UNESCO list of documents. And it's also in the Guinness Book of Records as the longest documentary ever. So. But it's a long program. So some watched part of it, like the Prime Minister. Some watched a little bit more. He says, I haven't used my bed for 5 days. And he's 82 years old, and he hardly slept. He keeps watching because something might happen, though it probably won't. This is the number of viewers along the route. You can see the famous Trollfjord, and a day after, all-time high for NRK2. If you see the 4 biggest channel in Norway during June 2011, they will look like this. And as a TV producer, it's a pleasure to put Hurtigruten on top of it. Look like this. 3.2 million Norwegians watched part of this program, and we are only 5 million here. Even the passengers on board the Hurtigruten coastal ship, they choose to watch the telly instead of turning 90 degrees and watch out the window. So we were allowed to be part in people's living room with this strange TV program, with music, nature, people. And slow TV was now a buzzword, and we started looking for other things we could make slow TV about. So we could either take something long and make it a topic, like with the railway and the Hurtigruten, or we can take a topic and make it long. This is the last project, it's the Peep Show. It's 14 hours of bird watching on a TV screen, actually 87 days on the web. We have made 18 hours of live salmon fishing. It actually took 3 hours before we got the first fish, and that's quite slow. We have made 12 hours of boat ride into the beautiful Telemark Channel. And we have made another train ride with the Northern Railway. And because this we couldn't do live, we did it in 4 seasons, just to give the viewer another experience on the way. So, our next project got us some attention outside Norway. This is from the Colbert Report on Comedy Central.
I've got my eye on a wildly popular program from Norway called National Firewood Night, which consisted of mostly people in parkas chatting and chopping in the woods, and then 8 hours of a fire burning in a fireplace. It destroyed the other top Norwegian shows like So You Think You Can Watch Paint Dry, and The Amazing Glacier Race. And get this, almost 20% of the Norwegian population tuned in. 20%!
So, when wood fire and wood chopping can be that interesting, why not knitting? So on our next project, we used more than 8 hours to go live from a sheep to a sweater. And Jimmy Kimmel in the ABC show, he liked that.
Even the people on the show are falling asleep. And after all that, the knitters actually failed to break the world record. They did not succeed. But remember the old Norwegian saying, it's not whether you win or lose that counts. In fact, nothing counts, and death is coming for us all.
Exactly. So, why does this stand out? This is so completely different to other TV programming. We take the viewer on a journey that happens right now in real time, and the viewer gets the feeling of actually being there, actually being on the train, on the boat, and knitting together with others. And the reason I think why they're doing that is because we don't edit the timeline. It's important that we don't edit the timeline. And it's also important that what we make slow TV about is something that we all can relate to, that the viewer can relate to, and that somehow has a root in our culture. This is a picture from last summer when we traveled the coast again for 7 weeks. And, of course, this is a lot of planning. This is a lot of logistics. So this is the working plan for 150 people last summer. But more important is what you don't plan. You don't plan what's going to happen. You have to just take your cameras with you. It's like a sports event. You rig them and you see what's happening. So this is actually the whole running order for Hurtigruten. 134 hours, just written one page. We didn't know anything more when we left Bergen. So you have to let the viewer make the stories themselves. And I give you an example of that. This is from last summer. And as a TV producer, it's a nice picture, but now you can... Okay, cut to the next one. But this is slow TV, so you have to keep this picture until it really starts hurting your stomach. And then you keep it a little bit longer. And when you keep it that long, I'm sure some of you now have noticed the cow. Some of you have seen the flag. Some of you start wondering, is the farmer at home? Has he left? Are you watching the cow? And where is that cow going? So my point is, the longer you keep a picture like this, and we kept it for 10 minutes, you start making the stories in your own head. That's slow TV. So, we think that slow TV is one nice way of telling a TV story, and we think that we can continue doing it not too often, once or twice a year, so we keep the feeling of event. And we also think that the good slow TV idea, that's the idea when people say, oh no, you can't put that on TV. When people smile, it might be a very good slow idea. So, after all, life is best when it's a bit strange. Thank you.
好，今天的演讲呢就是这些，可以说不难，他是挪威人，所以他英文对于他来讲也是第二语言，他们就是有板有眼的去说，英文还是比较好懂的。这次的节目之后呢，我觉得大家可能对电视节目有了一个新的认识，是吧？那我们在国内，中国国内的这些电视节目有没有会效法呢？这会不会是一个新的趋势呢？我们也拭目以待。
好嘞。大学生英语在线，欢迎您继续收听。好了，到了最后，又到了提问时间了。有同学问壮壮老师，怎么跟您沟通？
哦，那如果大家呢想上微信、微博，我觉得还是微博比较方便。
嗯，
微博、微信、大博客，我觉得大博客最适合于沟通。
嗯，
我的新浪博客的名号就叫女瓦辛格。
女瓦辛格，
哎，说起这个是有来头的嘞，
不是史瓦辛格，是女瓦辛格。您一定是史瓦辛格的偶像
啊，
而且呢还想，而且您还想当女中豪杰，
那是必须的。
嗯，
这个还是我的健身教练赠予我的绰号
啊，
所以新浪博客上你要搜女瓦辛格就会找到我了。然后呢，大家可以给我留言啊，给我问问题。嗯，有些听众已经早早的留言，我都及时回了。
嗯
啊，然后呢，大家也可以多多的看看以往的文章和学习资料的链接，有什么对您的学习有帮助的，你就尽可以从网上，从我的这个博客上直接顺藤摸瓜的摸过去。虽然这个通讯和沟通的方式已经进展到了微信哈，我还是觉得呢，这个博客呢可以慢慢坐下来写，就像我们之前听到的一个 TED Talk 里边讲到的这个 Slow TV 一样，坐下来慢慢写，它是很有乐趣的一件事儿。
嗯
啊，其实我们已经不够 slow 了，再 slow 一点应该用纸和笔。
对对对，因为现在微信啊是碎片化的，太碎片化了反而不利于学习。
没错，
嗯
啊，它不是一个系统的专心下来的这个阶段，
所以呢还是通过网上的微博和壮壮老师进行联系和沟通。
嗯，
你可以发送私信给他，也可以给他的微博留言，他的微博的名字叫做女瓦辛格。
对，在新浪上啊。
OK，
喜欢健身的同志们我也欢迎啊。
啊，好，今天的节目就这一些，感谢大家的收听，我们下期节目再见。
再见。
机会，你最想得到什么东西？
汽车
，money，
豪宅，
漂亮女朋友，
芭比娃娃。
健康。
北京人民广播电台提醒您，关爱自己的健康才能带来长久的幸福。
Tell you all the time, heaven is a place on